Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you and we thank you. We give you the glory. We bless you. And thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. We need revelation, wisdom, understanding, Lord. And we give you the glory that you help us in this moment to be able to understand your truth. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we are in a study series titled Saving Your Soul. And to save up time, today's subject, last time we spoke that if a believer could come into judgment, and the answer is yes. So today's subject, somewhat similar, the subject is titled Judgment Under Grace, but we'll see the problem is in your way of thinking. And to save time, I'm going to ask the multimedia team to help me with James chapter 1, verse 22 in the Amplified Classic. Then in Romans 12, verse 2. James 1:22 says in the Amplified Classic. 1:21, never mind, my mistake. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. What is that outgrowth of wickedness and uncleanness? All ideas that we have, intellectual thoughts, apparently they may seem good, that we've received of the world, that are contrary to the word of God. Amen. I could have the idea, if I'm the president of a country, you give money to the people, and it may sound nice. The majority of the people will say, oh, how good, we have a president or a king that gives money to the people. But I have to see it in line with the Bible and see if I'm a believer then. Amen. If I've been born again, to say, is it here in the Bible? And if it isn't, to say, no, it's not in the Bible, I cannot support that system. One more time. Notice, that's the uncleanness, where it says, get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, welcome the word. Why a humble spirit? Because, you know, with the idea of, oh no, I don't agree with that, or I this or the other. Once you and I are born again, the moment that we are born again, my brothers and sisters, the moment that we are born again, everything you have to see in light of the word of God. Have you heard this saying? This is a very common saying in the world. Someone just told me just this week ago. And I have mercy over them because they're people who do not have the Lord. But the tremendous thing is when I hear it out of the mouths of Christians. Have you heard Christians tell you? Oh, it's because that's your truth. But I also have my truth. And then there is a truth. Have you heard of that? Or perhaps they only tell me. I think I'm the only one that gets caught into controversy with what I say. Meaning, according to them, for example, an example where you can use that. What is your truth? Brother Hughes, I like tennis shoes. I had someone that I know who has about 30 pairs of tennis shoes. The different brands, very beautiful tennis. And he even uses suits, but he uses them with tennis shoes. He says, look at how nice these tennis look. And, you know, expensive, nice, nice colored, nice brands. Well, he says, for me, there's nothing better than a good pair of tennis shoes. So that's fine. For me, there's no better thing than a good, comfortable pair of boots. Well, that's his truth and that's my truth. But that doesn't affect anything. Here, this is things where it affects humanity or people and how God sees it. So then there is only one truth and it's the word of God. And if you've been born again, that's what you should always see with the lens or the magnifying glass with the lens of the Word of God. That's how you should see it. If not, then something indicates either you've never been born again, you were truly never been born again, or you're a very carnal Christian, guided by your five feelings. And there are many like that, and we shouldn't be. Amen. Now, James 1. And in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. Being 22, but be doers of the word. What word? When you're changing your way of thinking, that's what you do. Obey the message, not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I appeal to you, brethren, therefore, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external and superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude. What are those new ideas and new attitudes then? The ones that you're putting here in your mind with the Word of God. Someone asked me, a member of my family, a couple years ago, and a few months ago that was with me in school as well, someone that I knew from school, he said, who changed you so much? I consider it a praise because, well, you're the same one as always. Who changed you? Said the Word of God. By its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Amen. So last time, we were seeing how that was judgment. It was judgment. One of the definitions that we gave of judgment is a dictamen, judgment, or a verdict, a sentence. Meaning then God is not responsible, but God gave laws. We see that we are under the law of faith, the law of love, which is under the New Testament. You remember what we saw last time? So I believe it was in between the last few verses that I gave. It is that we gave that we saw this one or we didn't. In chapter 8, we were in Jeremiah, I believe as well. Yes. Okay, thank you. And this is what the author of Hebrews is quoting. Hebrews 8:8, and then we'll touch in a moment in Jeremiah. Hebrews 8:8, because finding fault in them, he said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, will come and make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue my covenant. Now continuing with the verse. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will put my laws. What laws? The law of faith. What do you say? The law of love. The law of sowing and reaping. All of that is inside of you. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Well, last time that we were here, we signed Jeremiah. Go back to Jeremiah. Because there's a lot of information here. But it's easy, as what I believe it is, very easy to understand. If I can sum everything up, everything is here in your spirit. All the good. New birth is here in the spirit. But I can also tell you all carnality then, all sin, all division, unbelief, anger, wrath. It comes from your mind. Amen. As we've been seeing in our last sessions then, what has happened in your spirit? Jeremiah 31. The last verse we saw was 31:24. Okay, thank you. Now, notice here, as we're reading, something very similar to what the author of Hebrews spoke. 31:31. Behold, 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Where is the Lord a descendant of? The tribe of Judah. Notice how in verse 29, and there's just so much information here, I don't even know where to start. Started in 27, right? In those days, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. It will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. Verse 28, and I shall come to pass that I have watched over them to pick up and break down, to throw and to destroy. Well, here we saw that there were times where the Lord had to bring judgment because the sin had to be paid for. But now all judgment fell on the Lord Jesus, which is that idea of the Lord put this illness on me to teach me something. My God, I have to be very careful with how I say it and what I say. I don't want to offend anyone that's listening to me later. But they don't even believe it. Because if you believed it, or if we had believed it when we were in religion, we wouldn't have asked for prayer. That the same God who put that illness on you to teach you something, then we're asking for him to take it away from us. It doesn't make sense. It makes religion, but not sense. In those days, they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, if I do something, my children will have to pay the consequences. It's true, there's an influence. There's an influence, but at the end of the day, the son has to decide. This is just an example. If my father, let's say he would have been in a murderer or something like that, it's very possible if I would have lived in that time, that atmosphere would affect me and influence me. But at the end of the day, I'm the one that decides. And there's a conscience. God gave all of us a conscience of what is good and what is wrong. There are people who say, I've heard people say this, oh, it's because I'm a drunk, because my dad was a drunk or my mom was a drunk. And they were drug addicts and that's how I grew up. And it's true, there is an influence. But it's not to say, oh, I understand. So you're drunk because your dad was a drunk. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Or you're excused for it. That's fine, we understand. No, that's not what the Bible says. Amen. Now you understand things that I've said and see them in light with the Word. So we don't have to have anything against a certain king in Europe, and he has to ask forgiveness to a certain country here in the North American continent. How stupid is that? And Christians are supporting that. Now let the world support that. But you and I? You have to see it in light of the word of God. If not, that means the word hasn't done much effect in your life. There are Christians who just let the word of God change them in certain areas. Yeah, they don't smoke. They don't use drugs. They don't drink. That's fine. That's good. But this life is much greater than that. You have to change your way of thinking with the word of God. Did you see here? I'm not at fault for what my ancestors did. And some of them did very tremendous things. Behold, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. So now is the time where everyone pays their own consequences. But I do have to explain this, because I don't know about you, but I've been asked, based on what I'm going to read continuing here, and I'll tell you in a moment of what that is. Not as the covenant that I made. Verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them out by the hand of Egypt to lead them out of the land of Egypt. But this is the covenant that I will make to the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Nor more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Now when it says, he speaks here of teaching, what am I doing this moment? Teaching the word. But this is meaning that every single one of us has a conscience of what is right, what is wrong. Start listening to your conscience. Even the world has a conscience. And supposedly we are more alive in our conscience and have a conscience of God. The average Christian, though, has that, a sin conscience, because that's all that's preached in many churches, just sin, everything's wrong. And there's a moment in correcting things and saying this is right, this is wrong, but based on what we are in Christ. Amen. That's the difference then. Because what happens? Suppose I'm just preaching sin. Huh? That's what I'm going to create. I'm going to create in you your sin conscience, a sin of defeat. Or a conscience of defeat. And that's all you're going to think on. By the grace of God, I'll be reaching that moment. Reaching that in a moment. Now am I saying, oh, so we preach debauchery? No. But I believe with all my heart that when you preach who you are in Christ and you make an emphasis and the people understand and receive it, born again, then having a relationship of your new creation will take you away from those things. Suppose one of you are still drunks. You struggle with alcohol. And you struggle with tobacco or drugs. And every single Sunday that I come, I'm preaching that every single drunk is going to go to hell. You know what I'm going to create in you? That. You're going to say, oh, well, then why do I go? If I know that I'm going to go to hell. But if you're born again and you're listening to the fact that you're a new creation in Christ, and I teach you what the issue is then of why you're still a drunk and why you have issues with pornography, and I teach you what the Bible says, then you will exercise faith and authority and you'll be able to change your way of thinking and you'll get out of that situation. The issue is that, sister, don't be drinking. Don't be praying for Sister Patty here. It's just an example. Sister, you can't be drinking because that doesn't please God. Well, I mean, yeah, we all do things that doesn't please God sometimes. But when that's all we say, that doesn't please God, that doesn't please God, doesn't please God. Well, then what does please God? I know drinking doesn't please God. And I'm not minimizing that, saying that it's not bad. Or that we shouldn't think on things that don't please God. But again, this is based on saying, wow, it's my new creation now. I am a child of God. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I've been renewed in my spirit. Therefore, I won't do these things that will bring consequence to my life. And apart from that, it doesn't please God because it's not faith. What does the Bible say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are you understanding? The issues in your way of thinking. I'm going to reach that point. Verse 34. Nor more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. I've taught you how to have a relationship with God, but I've told you this in a general way. There is nothing in the Bible, none of us can teach you step by step how to have a relationship with God. That's what this is referring to. You have to use your conscience and start listening to the voice of your conscience. Always ask yourself this. Always ask yourself this. Why? The decisions that you've taken, why did you take them? Always ask this. Did the Lord tell me? Or are they simply, did I simply just take a decision because In the natural, there's an excuse in the natural. Because if I say in the natural, you're always going to be used to living in the natural. Every circumstance that comes then, the circumstances are in the natural, although they're provoked in the spiritual. You're going to be used to that. And from there, you're already in disobedience because you're not following God. For example, think about this. Do you make yourself God without consulting God and taking your decisions? Now, God loves you, but that's the reason why consequences come. That's judgment. Now, what's the other verse that I gave you? Chapter 33, 4? 32, 4 of Jeremiah. 32, 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them doing them good. So when you tell people this, one of the reasonings of people, a human logical reasoning is this. Why, if God loves me and God is good, why is it then that all these things happen to me? Have they ever asked you that? Or why do these things happen to me? Why has this disgrace happened to me? And that's what I'm dealing with here. When you only follow your way of thinking and you take your own decisions without consulting Him who has made you a new creation in Christ in decisions that you're going to take. I don't want to touch on any details because I don't want to confuse anyone. Because if I say something, it could be that some of you could think, oh, then most probably the pastor is going to do this. Very probable the pastor is going to do this. So I'm not going to say it. So I'm not going to tell you what I'm referring to. And sometimes Nubia tells me that I give too much explanation and too much information. So I'll only tell you this. Today that I'm in front of you, if I were to give you some reasons, just reasons as to why I'd want to, that's my desire in my head, to take certain decisions, a pair of decisions. And if I were to explain it to you in the natural, the majority of you would say, oh, well, yeah, that's right, Brother Hughes. Yeah, you're right. Well, yeah. You're following along. In the natural, I could give you a reason. The issue is, when you're a child of God, and you truly depend on the Lord, once the Lord directs you to do something, your reasons no longer work. That's what this is about, rescuing your soul, saving your mind, saving, rescuing, changing your way of thinking. Now, what happens then? Let's see judgment here. We'll see again what the word here of judgment means. Because I gave you many definitions, if you remember. I gave you judgment and then verdict. Now let's see it step by step here. As I share something with you here in the Bible. First of all, the word judgment means a verdict or a sentence, according to the Royal Spanish Academy. I was going to say something, but then they have to edit it in multimedia. I give them more work. If I remember, I'll tell you at the end. Verdict, sentence. You can also add another word that I didn't put there, a decree. Speaking of judgment here. Verdict, dictamen, sentence. And you can add another word. You're taking notes. Decree. The decree. Oh, it's because I told them, but perhaps in multimedia they don't have it. Well, decree. That word here, I told you, which is the word verdict, comes from the Latin, which means vere, truth, and dictus, which is an act or a saying. So if you combine those two words, means a sentence, resolution, or a decision. Amen. The word dictamen, which here in the Greek means nomi, which I'm putting here what this word refers to. Used to refer to the opinion or judgment that a person issues on a specific topic. I don't know about you, but when I read these things very quickly, I think on God and His Word. When I read this, this is referring to the opinion of God, or the judgment of God, or the dictamen of God. This is referring to the opinion or judgment of God on a specific topic. I'll repeat it again. Referring to the opinion, judgment, or opinion or dictamen of God. Hear the word of God over a determined subject. An example of this in Galatians, verse 6, verse 7, 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So what does this indicate then? Is God responsible of that? No. God gave the resolution or the verdict. So who's responsible then? You and I. Amen. So when judgment comes, it's not that God brought that judgment or that punishment. You're bringing it yourself. The second question that I've been told is this. I already gave you one question, right? So if God is so good, then why do these things happen to me? Or why does He permit things to happen? Especially if hurricanes or anything can happen, any natural disaster, something happens. Well, in Christians, God bless them, they say it's judgment from God. The world says it's climate change. Well, I'm not denying that it's necessarily or totally a lie. But as I told someone, if you want to find climate change, it's in Romans 8. It says that then creation groans. It's due to the fall of man. Amen. Let's see verse 21. How did they put it up there? There we go. So So then why is the world and this planet Earth? Because due to the sin of man. Because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. This has nothing to do with God. Verse 2, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Verse 21 and 22 in the New Living Translation. Are you understanding now? Things will continue to happen in the world, unfortunately. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glory, in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as it were pains of childbirth right up to the present time. New Living Translation. We groan in the body, and we believers also groan even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. This mind has not been born again. So when you have a Christian struggling with alcohol, remember, don't forget that we're not in life. Well, when they end up putting this live, whenever it is that it comes, when this is set live, don't be sending me emails, saturating me of questions that I've already explained. For example, well, I know that this brother in Christ who is lost in the world. So if he was born again then, he's a brother in Christ. The Bible also says, who remembers of, I believe in English, it's a tear or tar. I forget what the term is. Help me, it's in the Gospels, Matthew, a verse there in multimedia, and then once you find it, put it in English. Matthew, thank you. Matthew 13:24. Another parable he put forth, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. 25 in the original English. Sowed tares, yes. So my point here is I should also clarify that there are many supposed Christians. In other words, they are people of the world. That tares or weeds that they are sowing, it is people who are in the churches but have never been born again. So as I've said, when you see a person that is struggling with the world, or as I've told you, or was never born again, or there are people who are way too carnal. Too carnal. Carnal simply means guided by their five senses. Am I following along? Am I not too cruel or anything? Doesn't sound like I'm mad, right? Because I get very passionate with this. Can you tell? Because people of the world who watch me on television, others know me. They say, hey, but sometimes when you preach to me, it sounds like you're mad. I tell them, no, it's not that. Actually, Ruth once asked me, she's not of the world, but she said, Pastor, why is it that when you're preaching, why you're so strong, so passionate about, but then you talk with us in the youth, you're so very kind. And then I scratched my head. This was last Sunday, right here. Just right here when we were talking at the end of the service. I said, I don't know if it has something to do. Could it be because of the anointing? And then I asked Nuvia, she was with other people on the other side. But you get passionate with this. Glory to God. So there are people, it's true, there are people in the churches who will go to a church. So every Sundays are the day of the Lord. In the midweeks, they're not going. And will they assume, God bless them, that they've been born again, or that they're children of God, or that they go to heaven because they go to a church? but they've never been born again. And that's what the Lord is speaking here of the parable of tares or weeds in the middle of wheat. You understand? There's a possibility then if you see brothers or sisters or supposed brothers and sisters and you see them their whole life, ever since then you know them, the same person. Very probable that they haven't been born again. And what I'm going to say, I have to explain it because we're very quickly to judge. Oh, they're probably a heathen. As I said, you have to be careful of assuring and judging something. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, but the Bible doesn't tell you to be pointing out with your finger every person that you assume is a heathen by their behavior. Very probable. Which is why I've told you there are Christians who act like heathen, but I never told you that they are because I'm not sure, only God knows. Are you understanding then? But there are others, other people, who one time you could tell, you could see the new birth. They gave fruits of being born again. They're in love of the Lord, but after that, they get cold or they're lost. And you see them like heathen. Also happens. It also, you see how merciful I can be with the people? Hey, I'm telling you because I'm not going to tell you that you're all going to go to hell and you're all heathen, as I'm not going to tell you that everyone is going to go to heaven. I'm being biblical. But I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not the one who's sending you to hell. And God doesn't send them either. The people go willingly. God isn't sending anyone to hell. Well, it's very possible then. There are people, again, I tell this with all respect and love and very carefully. They're born again. But they go to churches, just very traditional churches. And just condemnation and religion. Now, it's true. It's true, you see. I'm very balanced. I don't just go against anyone. It's true that nowadays, I noticed it from 2010 onward, that debaucherous message that I call false grace has grown. And I know I tell people, friends of mine, and members of my family, actually, it may sound a bit boastful, but it's true, and that God sees your heart. I say, if you want to learn about grace, don't listen to anyone else. Listen to me. It may sound very boastful, but it doesn't matter. I've told certain members of my family. I'll teach it to you correctly because that's the gospel. Now, it's true there's a lot of debauchery out there. There's debauchery. Others come in the Lord just in traditional churches, and all that has created in them is a sin conscience. The sin conscience, one of the things that it does is, I could give you many reasons for those who are taking notes. One of them is that it hardens your heart towards God. Meaning then, you always have the idea that God is mad with you. So you stop praying and seeking Him, and you stop coming to church, and you stop doing what the Bible says is for your own good. Because you always have that conscience that, oh, God is mad with me. So then what doesn't matter what I do, I'm always wrong before His eyes. That's what a sin conscience does. So you harden your heart towards God. But you should have a conscience of God. Papa Hagen would say, you have to be God inside minded. The best way that I can translate it into is having a conscience of God, being conscious of the presence of God. So you tell Him in the mornings, which is on Sundays, which is the only day that you shower. Well, in summertime, not so much, but you know this is a joke. But what I'm telling you, this isn't a joke. Lord, what do you want me to put on today? What do you want me to wear today? And normally God in that area speaks to my wife. She's the one that prepares my clothes. But Lord, such simple and small things like that. There are times when I've come to preach in tennis. Very few times. Go put tennis today, son. Oh, okay. Because with those things then, if you learn to hear God in such simple things like that, you'll be able to hear God in much greater things. If you can obey the voice of God in such as simple as that, you'll obey Him in something greater. Now let's see another judgment here. Deuteronomy 30. Are you understanding? Things will come, circumstances will come, but it's not God. Majority of Christians don't like this. You know why? Because they say, oh, Brother Hugh, so does that mean then that if it's not God, does it mean that it's me then? Well, of course. And they don't like it. Because, oh, I'm the responsible one then.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing a religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and welcome to Word of Faith Ministries. We're all about sharing biblical, practical, and balanced teachings that you can trust. Through our teachings, special broadcasts, and live videos, we aim to spread the gospel far and wide. And if you share what we do, you're helping us reach even more people and keep this mission going. Thanks for being part of it.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at npfccc.org and click on the questions section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Join us at Word of Faith Ministries in fulfilling the Lord's commission to share the Word of God worldwide. Your generous donations make a tangible impact and are greatly appreciated. To contribute, please visit our website, npfccc.org, and go to the giving section. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. Your contribution plays an important role in every outreach program, every salvation, and every life transformed through our ministry.
Chapter 30, verse 14. Very simple then. The whole Bible is full of judgment. Do you want me to mention one? The Bible says in Proverbs, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Right there. God gave those laws already. Do you respond or not? But I should also say that judgment can be something good. Here's not a definition, but a way of understanding judgment. An accomplishment of it. Deuteronomy 30. 30 verse 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgment, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. I command you today that you love the Lord His commandments, His statutes, all of that means His word, that you may multiply and prosper. So if you choose the contrary, well, disgrace and even premature death will come to you. But it's not God. God already spoke those judgments through His laws. Do you understand? Continue drinking alcohol, and eventually you'll feel terrible. You'll go to the doctor and he says, You have liver cirrhosis. You have 3 months left to live. And family's going to say, oh, and he was going to church. The devil took advantage of that avenue of disobedience. It's Satan who brings that wrongful judgment. Verse 16. And I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His statutes, and to keep His commandments. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and you are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, people think of supposed Protestants. Well, I don't kneel down anymore, and I don't pray to another idol or something. But this is speaking much more of just idols or images. You can love your children, or you can idolize your children, or your wife, or your work, or your business, or you yourself. And thinking you're the greatest thing ever. Oh, I'd die without myself. That's idolatry. Idolatry is, why do you take your own decisions? Who are you to decide things? Now, this is to help you. Some of you may not see it that way. But I believe it's the word that helps you. Verse 18. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. God even tells you, therefore choose life. That both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now, this is judgment. There's good judgment, there's bad judgment, as we've seen. You decide, you do the contrary of God. Just a moment ago, there are some things that perhaps in the natural, if I were to explain my reasons, they're good reasons. But I don't want that judgment in my life out of disobedience. Then what are you doing, brothers and sisters? I believe it was Friday, Nivy and I were talking. I said, you know what? Let's pray to the Lord that the Lord directs us to do in certain areas. And I can assure you, we're going to do what God tells us. And for this reason, and even my children are going to be in disagreement with us. Maybe you said, we're going to fast. Fasting is not to move God or to say, oh, look at them, they stopped eating. No. Fasting moves you. It puts you more sensible to the voice of God. And you silence your flesh. When you're serious in something, you want to receive direction from God. It's good to fast and prayer. Not just fasting, not just dead works. Fasting and prayer. Amen. So let's see in Romans 6. Are you understanding that God is not the issue then? That God loves you independently of your works. And if you say, then why does harm come to me? Because if your works are contrary to the word of God, the devil takes advantage of that avenue, and that's the judgment that comes. Do you understand? And which is why I'm speaking in our midweek services on praying, because that's one of the things that helps that parents know how to truly intercede for their children or for family members, because that helps then that the judgments that come or the consequences that come and that the devil wants to come against them. Intercession is to help where judgment is retracted. I said it helps. At the end of the day, the person will reap what they sow. Romans 6. This is so good. I don't know about you, but the word Romans 6. Now, before reading this, one more time. God loves you, you and you and you. Every single one of us. Regardless of your works, of how you act, good or bad, He loves you, period. Because you've been born again, He sees you in Christ. Does that mean then, Brother Hughes, that I can live like an animal? Animal, how do the animals live? By their five senses. Can I live like that just loosely out of my five senses? No. You can, in the sense that you have free will, but consequences will come. And if you've been truly born again, it's not your nature. How many of you have dogs? We have a dog who is Grizzly. And Nubia sometimes takes her here to AP. She's a very beautiful dog. But they shower her. They even put some... They groom her. They even put some bows on her. They put her very... She's very, very cute. But you know what? You know what? If we arrive very quickly, just putting her nose where it shouldn't be. And there are people like that. There are people who have dogs. And then a visitor arrives and they are sniffing. And oh, how embarrassing. Why would he do that? And there are even people who, if the dog is the female, they even have nails on her. That's fine. Nevertheless, they don't stop being dogs. So the dog comes out of them. I have my cats. One of my cats even watches cartoons. We put the iPad there and he just likes watching the cartoons and then goes and knocks on my door because, you know, he wants to sleep with me sometimes. But if I go to sleep before him, he's knocking on the door almost like an animal, like a human. But he's still a cat. And Nubia, just on thinking that one day one of those cats, one of the cats that we have at home, there we have three cats in total. There are others who are there in our stables. Those who don't come in because that's where they grew up. But the other ones are house cats. The idea of them being able to eat a delicious, juicy rat, mouse or rat causes issues in her. Because regardless that, oh my God, my little animal, he sleeps with us and they're my precious animals. He's still a cat. And the nature will come out of him. And we have a porch outside. They don't go there, but we have a giant porch. And they see the birds. And the three of them, the birds were flying from one to the other on the outside. And the three just... And their big eyes, their ears perked up. You know why? Because it's their nature. So, as I said a moment ago, when you see a Christian living in sin and disobedience, let's say a person who you don't know if they've been born again or not, or it's not, you can't prove it, or they've just never been born again. And you just think because, oh, they came to a church, they've already been born again. Or if they've been born again, they're a person who is way too carnal. The only thing is, when the devil kills them out of being out of sin, they just go to heaven. That's where the majority of churches here in this region or this front do not agree with me, because they say that if a Christian dies in sin, then they went to hell. Then the grace of God doesn't work for anything, nor the blood of Christ. Sin is greater than. So people say, oh, you're promoting sin. No, I'm promoting the gospel. But you're shortening your life. Here it is, Romans 6, verse 1. Now I know there are Christians, very dumb Christians, who will hear and say, oh, it doesn't matter if the devil kills me, I go with Christ. Well, go ahead. They're carnal, who just think on themselves. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? Continuing, certainly not. Why? He even tells you why. Aren't you thankful that he tells you why? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin meaning what? In the spirit. All sin here has to do with the satanic nature of the devil. Go with me very quickly, and that's why we should hear from the Lord. Go to 1 John. Yes, glory to God. Thank you for reminding me of that. 1 John chapter 3:9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So God bless those Christians. God, like the average Christian or the majority of Christians reads this and they don't understand it. They say, how? God bless them. I'm not making fun of them or saying it in a negative way, but there are Christians who have asked me, Brother Hughes, my God, if I came hungover to church today, read it there. Because it's in your Bible. New Testament. New Covenant in which we're in. We saw it at the beginning, correct? He who has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. The answer is right there. I just read it to you. The seed of God. What is this referring to? It's meaning that we don't sin? Or are you saying, but Brother Hughes, if I worry, that's already sin. It's meaning that your spirit, the seed of God, this is your spirit. You understand? With that understanding, let's go to Romans 6. Glory to God. Forgive me if I can be very aggressive, it's because joy wins me over. Y'all good? Glory to God. Verse 2, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? In other words, if your nature was changed, then you cannot act like a cat because you're not a cat. You cannot see a rat and say, ooh, it looks so juicy. But a cat can. So the answer is, Brother Hughes, then if I know that I'm a child of God, I know I've been born again. I know it. But then why when I see a beer there, I suffer, Brother Hughes. Why, Brother Hughes? A good question. And I told you, did I tell you, was it here? I don't know if it was here. One time, a brother in Christ shared with me, over he lives in Phoenix. He was passing through the hood there, and he still walks, you know. He still has that little step in him. And then suddenly, he passed through a house. And he knew that in that house, they were smoking weed. He knew it. Because he used to do that. But you know what happened? When he was leaving, he said, Brother Hughes, I passed through there. And I thought, they're smoking weed here. But, you know, when I was walking, he'd already passed the house. And then the next house, about 2 or 3 houses. And I had to go back because the odor was pushing me back. But you know, that man hadn't slept because, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me the whole night. Just asking for forgiveness. Something that had already happened in his past life. Because they're in a sin-conscious church. So what happened, Brother? Here's the explanation. Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Again, when you read baptized here, I know what goes through your kind, precious, beautiful, unrenewed mind. Very quickly, you see yourself in baptism in water. No, they're in the aquatic center. Grab your arms, close your nose. No, it's not talking about that. Actually, that's why we do that with baptism in water, because it represents the death in English, the burying, and then the rising up. A new man. That's what this is speaking of resurrecting with the word baptism. You were baptized in Christ. You were born again. Do you not know that as many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death also? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. What is that newness? Here in your spirit. You're a new creation. Following along? Man, this light eye feels like it's cooking me. I already smell like pastor tacos. Verse 5. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. This all happened in the Spirit. Knowing this, here it comes, that our old man, who is the old man? The human spirit. Our old man was crucified with him. You understand? When the Lord Jesus was on that cross more than 2,000 years ago, God the Father saw you and me there. This means that the price was paid. We received that sacrifice, but God saw you there. That our old man was crucified with him. That the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. There are Christians to this day. Many of my brothers and Pentecostal brothers in Christ believe that we have two natures and another denomination. Meaning there's two natures inside of you. Like two dogs fighting against each other every day. But it's not true. You have a new creation, a new nature in you. It's in Christ. You don't have two natures. You're not schizophrenic or something like that. Or bipolar. Brother Hughes, why is it that sin still attracts me? Why do I struggle? This word here, this expression, the body of sin, of course it's not talking about this fleshly body, because if you've been born again, then that they have to kill you and that's it. Body of sin is talking of what our study series is, renewing your mind. Unrenewed, your unrenewed mind, that's where we have been born again in the spirit, but we have all that old information. Our culture, our way of speaking, our way of believing, contrary to the word of God, and our acts. Which is why people say, oh, it's because I get very angry because my dad was very angry and my mom was very angry. Very true. But you don't have that nature in you. So then why do I get angry so easily? Because you let everything that's in here flow, except of letting the good that's in you out of Christ Jesus. It's there then where the Apostle Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Here. Which is why that brother passed and the scent sent him back. And he remembered. And he said, No, I already got out of this. Christ rescued me. And he went. But he had the rest of the day miserable, spent the rest of the day miserably. He didn't sleep that night asking forgiveness to God. I saw him with compassion. I didn't judge him wrongfully. And he was telling me, and I was just listening. And he told me, why, Brother Hughes? He was worried, really. I said, look, brother. Don't get offended with what I'm going to say. But you wasted a lot of time in not sleeping, asking forgiveness to God all night. When I saw him, he had maybe 2 or 3 days after that happened. What would you have done? And I explained this. What you would have done is just said, wow, glory to God. You would have started praising God, started recognizing who you are in Christ. I am in what? In Christ. What's that? And the majority of you, if I tell you, let's study who we are in Christ, less than half of you are going to come because, oh, I already know it. Because we don't value what we have. There are millions of Christians who don't understand this. So what happens is your spirit is perfect. Your spirit doesn't sin. But the acts of sin, we commit them here with our mind and with our flesh. For that reason, I tell you, what are you watching on your phone? Today we have a generation that doesn't sleep. They sleep super late, going to 2 or 3 in the morning, having just information contrary, and illness comes, and Christians are just watching the symptoms. And what happens? You're making yourself more conscious of the illness than of what you are in Christ and of the healing that he provided. And you're having information completely contrary. Christians, again, this is no way of criticizing, nor do I want to sound cruel. Christians, men, young girls, stuck in pornography. I have the same access that any other Christian could have. I have a phone as well. Why am I not watching that? Because it isn't convenient for me. It's going to destroy my life. Someone could say, Brother Hughes, but at this point in your life, well, yeah. If you think that because you have a certain time in Christ and you consider yourself mature and then you're not going to fall, many Christians believe that doesn't matter what you hear or who you're with. Doesn't matter. Nothing's going to happen to you, they say, because apart from the fact that God is good, I have years and I'm very strong. Those people are the ones that are going to fall more quicker. The Bible's thank you. The Bible says, he who does not want to fall, watch that he doesn't fall. Thank you for coming and thank you for dealing with this. Holy, holy, said the cherubim. Holy, holy of the Lord. Have to continue. 1 Corinthians 15. Notice verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The word here, companies, means people whom you are surrounded with. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now, the version in Spanish here, so I'll tell you something good in the version of Spanish. Reina Valera were two men who were Catholic priests, and they received the Lord Jesus. They were men who spoke Greek, who were very fluent in Greek. They were Greek scholars. And they were the ones that translated it into Spanish. There was already one in English, or in that time, I believe there was one circulating in English. Now, it's a very good translation. And these were men who loved the Lord, very tremendous men. Nevertheless, there were certain times where perhaps, understand that this Bible, the original one, the first one, according to what I have here, '71. So sometimes, perhaps certain words, they didn't fully understand. Although the majority of the Bible is very well translated, people don't like it because they use words like in the Spanish to English, thou, to. But when translated to Spanish, it's the originals, and English as well. Especially when you read the word now or right now. Now, in the King James Version of verse 34, not New King James, but the original King James, awake to righteousness. Do you know what this word means? This phrase, open your eyes to righteousness and don't sin. Which is why it's important what you are to not sin. Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. How is it that you won't sin? Understanding that you're the same righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But the time that I've spent, ever since I've been born again, of October of 1997, to this day, and with the time that I spent preaching faith, grace, and who we are in Christ, etc., watching pornography, it's going to destroy me. None of us are, oh, I've already accomplished, nothing's going to happen. That's not true. There are Christians who they could be with heathens, and it's fine, because how are you going to testify to them? But the issue is that over time, the Christians are talking the same as heathens, doing the same acts. If you're going to guide the conversation, you're going to have control. You're going to go against every word that they speak. Even when they speak cursing, you say, glory to God, hallelujah. And then they're going to say, why? Well, you were praising your father, the devil. I'm going to praise my God. Look at how quickly you're going to stop saying those things. But very quickly, you're speaking the same. That's the issue. What's the issue then? God? No, it's not God. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. But then you have a sin conscience. Then the things of the Lord don't interest you. And then you grab the ideas of man. Of, oh no, it doesn't matter. If God is good, God doesn't send anyone to hell. God isn't sending the people. The people go by themselves. That's the reason we guard ourselves. Now, false grace says, oh yeah, live however you want. Join up with whoever you want. They're so exaggerated, this and the other. And it will cause disgrace in your life. Religion is, oh, everything is sin. The moment that you heard, you couldn't even control it, that a heathen said a bad word, and you heard it, you already think that they're going to go to hell with along with the heathen. It's two extremes, very dangerous extremes, that will bind you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Tell me if this isn't good. What's the issue then? What you're putting inside of you here in your mind. What you're putting in your mind. You're going to struggle, which is why there's people in depression. Christians in depression. And tell you how to be happy and live in the joy of the Lord always. There are people who have told me, oh, that can't be done, Brother Hughes. It can't be done. Well, I told you, I believe my Bible. People have told me, other Christians that I know. And some of you know them. Some have sent me with other people. Well, oh, Brother Hughes once said that he's dreaming. And I told him, don't wake me up then. Amen. He lives in a bubble. Well, don't pop it. Leave it be. There are things that can be done here with the Word of God. Amen. But there are Christians like that. They don't believe in this. They don't believe what the Word of God says. Let's see good judgment, and then I'll close up with this. This works, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The latter shall one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So there you go. You believe what this says? I believe it with all my heart. I live it. Brother Hughes, brothers and sisters, you'll be able to see it. On Friday, I was working. I had big hat. I had a big hat, sunglasses, and well, part of my face wasn't completely covered, but when I came in, my nose was red. I went out of the bathroom. It looked like I had a clown nose on me. And yesterday, I had it all peeled up. Till in the morning, I was peeling off a lot of flesh. Why? Because I was in the sun. You could tell. Well, when you're in disobedience, you'll be able to tell. But when you're in obedience, in faith, you'll be able to tell. When you'll see it, when you have peace, you'll see it. Amen. Because you understand who you are in Christ. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Not from one day to the other, but you'll reap it. This is so good, isn't it? So from here on out, as you understand this, it'll be in you. What you hear. There are believers who think that, oh, well, it's because I'm always with Christians. There are some Christians who, in their spirit, they're all glorious, right? But since they walk so much in their mind and their flesh, there are some Christians who are more dangerous than a rattlesnake. Amen. You have to know who you're going to be with. Because over time, you'll see one thing. You'll be judging a brother very soon. It's the talks of those Christians. He's criticizing and this and the other, and they don't see their own lives. Amen. Which is why I'm so selective of what I hear, whom I hear, whom I join up with even. And yeah, I speak with heathens because God didn't tell me to live inside of a monastery. How am I going to preach to them? But I carry the conversation, and when I can't control it, I get up and I go. Now, I'm going to say this because I'm always going to share the truth. It's more productive. Sometimes it's more productive. Always when you carry the conversation, of course. Spending time with heathens than with some Christians. If you carry the conversation. Why? Because especially the fighty Christian, like, knows everything. Regardless of what you say, politics or cars or this or the other, Bible, regardless of how much Bible you say, no, the Bible say no, I'm not going to accept it. Waste of time. At least I, when I speak, it's not to make my point valid. It's to teach the people. It's to train the people. So that the people can know and understand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
And some prayer. Don't have a list. Don't go stand in the mirror and say, I know, I'm spirit. Amen. Start seeing yourself like this. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Amen. Glory to God. Begin to say, I am the same righteousness of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am a son of God. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. One time, brother told me something. From Douglas. He lives here in Douglas. He said, you know what, brother? We don't even know what to see in TV anymore. Movie. And all of a sudden, people start taking off their clothes and they start having intercourse in there. And what the title of the movie had nothing to do with that. And here in my spirit, quickly, I said, I don't have to see anything like that. Because nowadays you don't know. For them, it really is true. The climate change, it's very hard for them. They immediately take off their clothes. Amen. Lord, we love you. We give you thanks for your truth, for your word. Because you are good and forever is your mercy. Thank you that we can learn and begin to speak and understand the truths of the gospel. Thank you. We give you glory, all honor. We thank you, your kindness. Thank you, Lord. Lord, your word says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we have been healed. We have been healed. And we renew our mind to those truths. We speak your word. And we say we're healed by faith. We believe we have received our healing. And I cast out all acts from the devil, all sickness. I say be dry and cease to exist. Thank you, Lord, for your truth, your kindness, and speak the power of God in our homes, in our families, in our finances. How we give with laws of sowing and harvest. What we give, you multiply it. And we call that harvest. And we speak to it and say multiply. And we receive an abundant harvest in the name of Jesus. And we speak the favor of God and the peace in our homes. Give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. We strengthen ourselves by speaking in other tongues, The Bible says that when we pray in tongues, we give thanks and we also build ourselves. There's various benefits to it. And we're going to see it this week. It's surprisingly the direction that the church is taking these days. They believe anything they see on the internet because a million people saw it. And if I was alive right now and I started cussing out, it would be viral. But we can't compromise the word. And the people who see us just sees us. And we're not going to do more than what we've been asked by the Lord. You know one thing? People believe things like this about praying in tongues. I don't know why. I don't know why, but here, something here, I perceive it here. And when you perceive it, it's from the Lord. That's why I perceive that some of you don't even pray in tongues. Maybe some of you haven't even received the Holy Spirit and don't give it the importance. And when you don't pray in other tongues, it's like trying to put out hell with a BB, with a water gun. Your prayer has no power. You're limited. But when you set the word in your heart, you're not only going to stand it better, but you're going to be able to pray. And you're going to be able to intercede. Interceding in the natural is very limited. Very limited. But if I pray in the Spirit and I let the Holy Spirit intercede using my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit, my tongue, my vocal cords, and I let the Holy Spirit flow, eventually I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak some phrases regarding the Bible in Spanish or in English. But those words are going to be filled with anointing and power because they're guided by the Holy Spirit. But praying in other tongues also brings rest. Some of you have told me, and don't take it for anything bad, because I know some of you have told me something because you have told me,
brother, you should rest.
But you know how I rest? I rest by studying. That's rest for me. Reading my Bible and studying, but studying, not just reading and meditating. That's rest for me. And sometimes when it's a holiday here, today we have a lot of work today outside, my son and I. And we're so busy, I'm going to have to come here on Tuesday, come and record, and then just stay here. And, you know, if I get tired, I replace energy with the word, not when I'm teaching, but when I meditate the word and I pray for myself. The Christians who don't give value to prayer because they let themselves be influenced by the world, you're going to end up this way. The Lord doesn't change. It doesn't matter what fashion is and what's trending. The Lord doesn't change. He is the same. If your word had not been our delicacy, in our affliction, we would have perished. And don't think I'm removing expressions from me and telling you, not only you here, I tell it to my kids, all of them. Learn to develop a relationship with the Lord. Learn to spend time with the Lord. Don't spend so much time on your phone. The same thing I tell you, I tell them at home. Right? Glory to God.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again, time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your Word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.